Are we ready?
Ready.
We're going to roll. We're going to be going through a lot of information. So please, if there's something you don't understand, ask the question. There's no dumb questions, right? We'll laugh at you anyway. So break in. We're talking about the greatest gift ever tonight. Second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. We've already established who is the greatest. Are they all equal? Right? We have established that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Are they equal? In essence. Are they submission under roles? Okay? Equal in essence. Submission, 1, 2, 3. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in roles. Does Jesus Christ ever get out of his role? Never. Does God ever get out of his role? Never. The Holy Spirit? No. Does a wife ever should get out of her role?
What do you think, honey?
What do you think, hon? That's kind of like the they had the guys up in heaven, all everyone was standing in line, all the men. And God says, the guy that ran his house, take one step forward. Little bitty guy, big thick glasses, stepped out. St. Peter says, all right, why did you step out? Because my wife told me to. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for the opportunity we have to talk about you. Nothing greater in all the world than you. You are the ultimate you. Thank you for loving us that we can get the greatest gift from you. May we understand you a little better tonight. And if not, Father, help us to comprehend as we go along. In your Son's most holy, precious, glorious name we all say. What is the only thing that is going to be man-made that's going to last for eternity?
God's Word.
God's Word is not man-made. The holes in Jesus' hand and feet inside. Even with his new body. Way to go, girl. Cheater. Yes. Because even with his new body, they can still see it. Thomas, Jesus says, Mr. Thomas, until I touch it, till I see it, I'm not going to believe. Jesus says. But it never says he touched. It says when he saw, he fell down and said, my Lord and my God. Wow. I don't know. You know, you hear about so many people saying, I cannot wait to get to heaven, talk to Paul, talk to the apostles, talk to some of the Old Testament prophets. Guys, you're not going to worry about anybody except Jesus. Your eyes are going to be on the man, because he's going to be the only thing worth looking at in heaven. I'm going to look at him the first 10,000 years, then I may decide to look around and see if y'all made it. Okay, you guys ready for verses? You got to look them up. You got to work. So I need someone to be ready to read John 10:30 for me. Okay, bro. I need someone ready to John 14:1. Okay. And somebody ready for Matthew 12:8. Okay. And we're missing one in the book. We got another one. Coming as King. Matthew 14.
Mark.
Is it Mark? Oh, I need my glasses on. No wonder. Mark 14:61-64. Okay, you got it? All right, we ready to roll? This is going to be your time to hear about Christ. I and the Father, 1 John 10:30. These is personal claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 10:30. Is that what they say? That's pretty to the point, isn't it? The Father and I are one. What denomination would say that but not mean that Jesus is God? What religion? JWs.
Mr. Dawkins.
They will say that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he's one with the Father, but they deny that he is God. So watch out for the words people use. Okay? Mormonism will say that Jesus Christ is God, but they're saying he is one God of the Father. He's the brother of Satan. Okay? You guys know that, right? That they believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers. Adam God basically asked them to come up with a plan to save the world. And Satan came up, at the time it was probably Lucifer, came up with a plan. Jesus came with a plan. Adam God accepted Jesus' plan. Satan got mad and rebelled. Went to a fight. All the angels that won with Jesus became the white race. Okay? All the angels that fell with Lucifer became demons. And all the scared angels stayed neutral became the black race. That's what they believe. And it wasn't until 1971 or so that they got a reprieve that was all right for blacks to be forgiven for not fighting. And then they could join the priesthood. Okay? Biggest problem with not knowing is not knowing what the truth is. You do not have to study the cults. If you study the real thing, you can always know what a counterfeit is. Or get thrown in jail real quick. Can I have an amen on that? All right. I and the Father are one. That is a claim. Most people will tell you that argues about Jesus Christ, God, that Jesus Christ never said he was God. That's because they never read the Bible, is what they've heard. What? How do you answer a question that says the Bible contradicts itself? First thing you want to do is say, show me. Next thing you want to do is what? Let them show you. All right? Two easy steps, real easy. Don't even try to make it difficult, guys. Say, show me. And they'll throw something at you like, and when he bent down to the tomb, there was one angel. And when they came to the tomb, there was two angels. Oh, that's not a contradiction. Only one spoke. So if you want the whole story, Jesus wrote in four different passages to give you the whole story. So you got to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to put the whole picture together on what really happened. Okay? We got it? We're talking about the Trinity. I have not given you my best example of the greatest idolatry example in the world. What's the only thing true about God? What God says. What else is everything else? Idolatry. And I got some great, great examples. It's plain idolatry. But we'll sleep on it, all right? Believe also in me. John 14:1, please.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me.
That's a pretty big claim. If someone walked into church today and threw that out, you believe in God? I'm the same. He and I are one. You can believe in me the same way. What would we say?
Arrogance.
Welcome to the cult. Welcome to the cult. But Jesus Christ meant every word because he's God. If you believe in God, you can believe in me. I and the Father are one. Lord of the Sabbath. Matthew 12:8.
For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.
For the Son of Man, anyone know what that term Son of Man means? Messiah. It's a term for the Messiah. Son of Man. Why was he called the Son of Man? Yeah.
I've always thought it's because it's his perspective.
It's from God's perspective?
God's perspective. Is that?
Well, it had to be, right? There's only one other king that was king and priest. Anyone know who that was? Melchizedek. All right, now, if you ever want to get confused, study Melchizedek. All right? Most people want to make Melchizedek man. There is no way Melchizedek was a man. The only one that could be Melchizedek is Jesus Christ in the flesh as an epiphany. Okay? The only one that can bow to God is God, right?
Amen.
So when Melchizedek bowed, he bowed to God himself. And when Abraham bowed, he bowed to Christ. So Christ submitted to God in the form of Melchizedek, who was king and priest. So in order for Jesus Christ to be the answer to that promise, he had to be king and priest. He had to be man to be king, and he had to be God to be the holy priest. That does not change. Any questions? I can get a little confusing.
You said that the only person, say that the only person that can bow to God is God?
Yeah. God's not going to bow to anyone else. True?
Oh, I misunderstood what you said. Okay.
Okay. So the only one that can be greater than God, than Jesus, is God. And when Abraham bowed, you got to understand this. Remember when Abraham came up and bowed to Melchizedek? Remember the story? When Abraham came back from winning the war, he came to give homage to Melchizedek. And he bowed to Melchizedek. Now, the reason why they said Jesus Christ was greater than the Judah priesthood was because Judah, is it Judah, isn't it, was in the loins of Abraham when he bowed. So that made Melchizedek greater than anyone that was in the loins of Abraham. So where was Jesus when he bowed to Melchizedek? In his loins. So if there's a man that Jesus bowed to, it's a man that's greater than Jesus. So the only way he could bow, even in Abraham, would be bowing to God himself. Can I get a witness to somebody in this room? And that's the whole thing that broke down the seminaries that I was dealing with, trying to prove that the commentaries was wrong. That Melchizedek, it's impossible for Melchizedek to be a man. He had to be Epiphany, Jesus Christ. He doesn't have a mother, didn't have a father, never born, didn't know when he died. I mean, that explanation in Hebrews tells us exactly who he is. Okay? Oh, not confused, are we? We got it? No, if you had questions, this is a good time to ask. Because this is why we're here.
So no other commentaries are saying what you're saying. Is that what you're saying?
There are some commentaries.
I've never heard of what you just said.
There are some commentaries would say it, but there's not very many at all. And that's one of the white papers. I don't know why they call them white papers. Theological studies. It was one of the white papers that I wrote to prove that there's nowhere in the world that Melchizedek could be just a man. He had to be Jesus Christ.
Is there any other time in Old Testament where there was another example where pre-incarnate Christ came?
Oh, yeah.
As a physical person like Melchizedek?
Oh, yeah. Every time he appeared as an epiphany, he came as a physical person.
But
Shadrach, Meshach, and the Bad Negro had him in the front furnace with him.
Yeah.
Remember, they saw him. He was in the flesh. He appeared to Hagar in the flesh. That was Jesus.
Okay, so you're saying all those other appearances were just like Melchizedek.
In the flesh. The only time you can know the difference between it's an angel of the Lord when it's Jesus and the angel of the Lord when it's just an angel is when the angel allows himself to be worshipped. If he allows worship, it's Jesus Christ. If it's just one of Michael or Gabriel or how many angels have names in the Bible?
Three.
Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. We forget, you know, he was an angel, but he's fallen. He lost his. Okay, yes, ma'am.
Can you just say something in a different way?
Okay.
There's an epiphany. Every time he appears, it's an epiphany.
In the flesh. He comes to be seen.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's a big old country word for you can see him.
Why can't you just say pre-incarnate Christ? That's how I.
Because I don't like to talk white.
I just never. To me, it's like you have an aha moment where you have an epiphany.
Hey, God comes down and stands in front of you. That's an aha moment. You know, I mean, that's every one of his epiphanies was an aha moment. It changed history. Every time he came down and hit the ground. Remember when they was going in to take Jericho? Christ came down in epiphany, in the flesh, and he's standing there, And Joshua looks up, sees Christ standing there with a sword in his hand. He goes over and said, are you for us or are you against us? God says, no. He said, no. Take your shoes off. You stand on holy ground. Moses, take your shoes off. You stand on holy ground. He says, I'm the captain of the host. You know what he said when he said that? He said, I didn't come down here to take sides. I came down here to take over. Joshua's question is, are you on my side? So every time he showed up, history changed. So they, I mean, all was aha moments to the max. Yes, ma'am. It's the same. He's Christ in the body, God in the body. Yeah. Okay. Does that help? Yes.
Okay, you know how Melchizedek is referenced in the New Testament also?
He is in the book of Hebrews.
Right. I'm confused as to why they reference him, Jesus Christ,
in Melchizedek. Because of the priesthood part. Jesus is the ultimate priest for us.
Right.
He represents us. Yeah, and what he does is, Melchizedek was the highest held priest by the Jews in the Old Testament. No one was higher than Melchizedek because the father of all Jews. You got to understand, Abraham was not a Jew. Abraham was a Gentile. Abraham had Jews. But their dad was a Gentile. And they get awfully upset when you bring that up to them. All right? So when their father, the Gentile, bowed to Melchizedek, oh, we got a problem. And so what they're doing is, in Hebrews, they are proving that the priesthood of Jesus was higher than the priesthood of them in Judah and Melchizedek. Equal to Melchizedek.
Levi,
the Levitical priesthood. Okay? So that's what Hebrews is proving. That Christ is the highest priesthood. Yes. What did I say, Judah?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the king line.
You were thinking about the Beatles.
I'm thinking about the Beatles. Oh, okay. What's that? They think that he was the highest king and priest of the only one.
But they don't actually have any history of his coming or going either.
They have what was written by their father Abraham and others who passed it down. And they know that he was a great priest. They don't know much about it, but they know he's got to be great because Abraham bowed to him.
Just because he bowed to him.
Yeah.
But otherwise, so if they come to faith, that they would see that immediately.
Rabbi, I got my buddy, yo. Now, I'm see if I can get him over here before the class is over. Get Rabbi Laughing to come and talk to us about how we know the Bible is not from man, it's from God. Got a great, great, great talk on it. But he and I go at it a lot of times. Orthodox Jew. And there's two questions he can't answer. Just blows him up. One is, how can the Jewish nation ever have a king? How can they have a Messiah? It's impossible for them to have a Messiah. The reason why it's impossible, because God cut it off and said none of your descendants will ever sit on the throne again at Jehoiakim or Jehoiakim. I get them mixed up. Jehoiakim. And God wiped out a lineage and none of your descendants will ever sit on the throne again. So how are they going to have a king if the descendants are all wiped out? And God says never one that you're going to sit on. That's number one. The only way you can have a king of the Jews is virgin birth. So man had nothing to do with it. Okay? That's number one. So he knows where he's got to go, but he's not going there. Number two, I ask him, is there someone, as Christians, we got a dilemma. As you don't believe there's anyone greater than Melchizedek, we don't believe there's anyone greater than Jesus. And if there's one man that would be greater than Jesus, it would be Melchizedek. Because he bowed to Melchizedek in Abraham's loins. So for us, that's a dilemma. Can you help me figure that out? So neither one of those questions really answered. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He said himself, I am God. So how do they explain that? I mean, is it crazy?
See, what they do is, he got to be crazy.
But
you know.
He's a crazy prophet.
He's a crazy, ingenious prophet. But we said that today. and a Muslim will tell you that Jesus is one of the greatest prophets ever, but they don't believe he's God. You can't get around his greatness. You can't get around how much he's changed society. I mean, anyone that divides history, B.C. and A.D., everyone know what B.C. means? Before Christ. Everyone know what A.D. means? It goes, you know, after death? No. It's Anno Domini. You know what Anno Domini means? Year of our Lord. So, I mean, he is a historical splitter. This is who we're talking about, guy. This is the one that climbed on the cross for you and I. And if he would crawl on the cross for us, what do you think he'd do now that he's off the cross for us? And we act like he's still on the cross half the time. Jesus, could you please get off the cross and help me? You're supposed to be on the cross, Jesus. Why are you putting me on there? You ever feel like that when you can't pay your bills? Talk to the pastor. You ever feel like that when you're sick? You know, I thought you're supposed to take all that suffering. You get that verses, you know, that, you know, sickness, and you're going to do this, and boy, you're going to have all the glory and all those things in those verses, you know, not the braiding of the hair and all those things. I go, well, why don't you read the whole thing? He said, don't wear clothes, too. So we like to pick and choose. Heaven is my home. Most of us not homesick yet. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
When God gets ready, ain't nothing none of us can do. I am not going kicking and screaming. I'm going full. Full of meat. No vegetables for the brother. You hear what I'm preaching on Sunday morning? Vegetarians are the weaker brother. That was funny, man. I guess you could have seen the faces of those folks Sunday. When I read the verse, just started smiling. They knew what was coming. We got a meat business. We're going to be upset, man, about veggies. I think I may get a coat and put a big head of lettuce on it. I think that'd be funny. With church for all people. But you know the number one biggest problem with vegetarians? They eat meat. If they've ever eaten a cream-filled cookie, they've eaten meat. Do you guys know what cream-filled made out of? Animal fat, white fat, and sugar. And it's good with milk. Can I have an amen on that? Brother just want to be honest. Is that, you ready? Lord of the Sabbath, Matthew 12:8.
We did that? Yeah,
so it's coming as King, Mark 14.
Oh.
It's not there.
We didn't do Mark yet? But I missed something then if we already did that. Read 12:8 for me again, please.
For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.
All right. Now, if he's Lord of the Sabbath, who controls the Sabbath? Does the Sabbath control him and us? Or does he control the Sabbath? He controls the Sabbath. He made the Sabbath for us. The Jews made them for the Sabbath. Okay? The Sabbath came as important as Christ. Gifts in many of our churches comes as important as Christ. And whenever you got a substitute for the one that is the Bible is centered around, we have problems. Never allow anything in your life to become more important than what the Bible says the most important. That is the relationship between you and Jesus Christ. Jesus will keep you straight about God the Father. The Holy Spirit will keep you straight about Jesus. And the Father is going to honor the Son. And the Holy Spirit is on his own. And he's self-sufficient enough not to worry about it. Alright? So one man esteems one day as special. Another man esteems every day the same. Only thing we need is just consistency. Mark.
But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus. "And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his clothes.
I would.
"Why do we need any more witnesses?" he asked. "You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?"
Did the man understand what Jesus just said?
Come on.
If nobody else understood, my boy understood. Who was the two happiest people for 3 years when Jesus walked on the earth? soap makers and tailors. Because everywhere he went, they were throwing dust on themselves and tearing their clothes. Man, Jesus messed up a meeting, boy. Me walk in the synagogue and just, that's all you can hear is clothes ripping. He throwing dust. Can you just be, I mean, just to be able to film one of those meetings. Guys throwing dust all over themselves, tearing their clothes. Why you go, you must have saw Jesus today. I wish we could get Christians to be as excited about Jesus as they were as upset about him. Can I get an amen, my people? The works of Christ. What? You like my sound effect? I still need some bass. This is all triple. Is that what it's called? Trouble. Yeah, him. I'm from the South. I know how to say bass. Yeah, bro.
So, Jesus died for our sins. I have a question. You remember when he died to the woman and he says, I'll forgive you your sins.
Right.
So, what's the difference?
None. See, there's no difference for God. Because he was dealing with the Pharisees and Sadducees. They believe that the reason why you are in pain, reason why you're poor, reason why you are not healthy, was because of sin. That's the whole belief. Sound like certain denominations today. That you have a lack of faith, you're going to be poor. Lack of faith, you're going to be sick. Lack of faith, you're going to be missing out on the good life. Okay? Well, they believe that anything that happened to you was because of sin in your life. So Jesus says, if this man is paralyzed, you think he's got sin. So if I tell him to get up and walk, or if I tell him his sins are forgiven, to you there's no difference. So why are you upset? So he's busting them in front of the group that they want to impress. And he does it by just them thinking it. Now, they didn't say it out loud, they just thought it, and he answered them. That right there alone should have shook him up.
Yeah. My question is how does he forgive sin? I mean, I don't know. I guess I don't even understand.
It had nothing to do with sin. Okay. The man's sickness had nothing to do with sin.
Well, I'm not talking about the sickness. I'm talking about the sin. How can you forgive sin?
Because he paid for it.
Yeah, but he hasn't died for it yet.
Yeah, but it's in God's eye. He has. See, there's no tomorrow or yesterday to God. It's the ever present. Eternity is the ever present now. That's why you can't get tired. You can't get tired sitting now. You get tired after you've been sitting a while. You get tired after you've been working a while. But it's like eternity to us is going to be like the day and the moment we open that present Christmas present that we always wanted. That excitement that never leaves. The best time for a gift is when you open it. After that, you can't never feel the same. You know what I'm saying? And that's eternity. And so God knew he'd already paid the sin before he ever died and got on the cross. Because that's why he came. That make better sense now? Because he is the ever-present. God right now, that's how he can write Revelation. It's already happened to him. He's already sitting there looking.
Watching that.
Oh man, this is a pretty good show. Let's run that back. Yes, ma'am.
Not to ask this in a rude manner to God or whatever, but is he just bored and I wrote a big story, and if he already knows the ending, how's it interesting? When you say he already knew,
yep.
If he's God, why does he?
That's omniscience. He knows all things. But right. See, you and I can know all things. We get bored because we're limited in time.
Okay.
God's not limited in time. Only reason God made time is for us.
But if he already knows what we're going to do.
Yeah, but you don't.
So he's
excited about him. He's excited about you becoming his. He's excited about you getting to know him. He's excited about you not sinning. He's excited about you becoming more like Jesus Christ. That lightens God's load. He loves us, guys.
Doesn't he already know if I'm going to do the right thing?
Well, it's just like your kid. Like you have a child. You think they're going to break rules? There you go. So how you know they're gonna break the rules, but if they don't, or how they break them, dictates how good of a parent or how well you're going to respond to them. Yeah. So it doesn't matter if he knows. It's a relationship that's built as we go along doing it.
So he just wants to be proud of us and love
he
us.
Wants to be proud of us, yes. Yeah. Good way of putting it. He wants
when
to be proud of
us. Like it's my 2-year-old, I can understand.
Oh, yeah. You know what they say, if you want the people to get the cookies, put them on the bottom shelf. Don't make an inconvenient story. All right? Died for our sins. Mm. The man could have done anything he wanted to. He chose to die for our sins. Because there's no way in the world we can ever pay for it ourselves. Who will read Matthew 5:8 for me? Okay. I need 3:24. Romans 3:24. Okay. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, please. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. Okay. Be ready?
Right.
You got your verses? All right. Die for our sins, Romans 5, 8.
But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
If he showed his love to us while we was yet sinners, what does he want to do for us now that we are right with him and his children? Mm-hmm. He wants to discipline us more.
Yes.
Now that part, I don't like. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
I don't like to think about that part. If he died for me when I was a sinner, I think he ought to be willing to give me some good stuff. Amen?
Amen.
I want the Lamborghini Jeep. Talk to me. I mean, if he died for me while I'm his enemy, as a son, I should have that Lamborghini Jeep waiting for me when I walk outside. And on the license plate, I want it to say, "You wish." But you know what it does? It turns him loose to be a father to us. And a father does what we need, not what we want. That's why he doesn't mind molding us to be like his son.
I need that 15 miles.
Oh. Big check. Romans 3:24. Out loud.
Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Freely. Can't earn it. Can't earn it, Jack. Some of the best thing in life they say, you can never get free. But I'm going to tell you, somebody lied. Because every time I suck air in, talk to me. Yeah, baby. Yes, ma'am.
I was just wondering if when you say everybody keeps putting Christ back on the cross, is what you mean that we want him to keep taking our troubles and sins away from us?
We want him to not become off the cross to run our life. You know, keep that distance and let me make decisions. He didn't die on the cross, stay on the cross, die on the cross, get in your heart and run your life. He told Joshua, "Hey, I didn't come down here to take sides. I came down here to take
over.
And when he comes in Savior and Lord, whether you understand it or not. Okay? And there's no greater Lord that ever than the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but it's hot in here.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Yeah. Thank you, Lanita. 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 Raised for our victory. Man alive. That eliminates any aspect of the fear of death. What's the only way you can overcome death? To die. Or face it. With the possibility of no way to get out. When we learn to truly die for Christ, it's the only time you really learn to live for him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Only way I can learn how not to be afraid to jump out of a plane with a parachute on my back is not get in a plane. Are you stupid? I don't want to get over that field. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
I tell you, if the fall don't hurt, it's a sudden stop. I have no desire to jump out of a perfectly safe airplane or with a sheet on my back. And most of them are white at that. Look like a Ku Klux Klan jumping out of a plane. I'm a member of the KKK. That's a cool colored cat. Can I have an amen? Good night. There's some things you just don't have to prove. Raised by victory. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, please.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power unto the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time.
If you guys don't get anything, you got to get that written down somewhere. Get it, shellac, and put it on the fridge. Because I don't know about you, I visit the fridge often. If you ever want to read a verse, put it on the fridge or the bathroom window. And I hope all y'all visit both of them regularly. Can I have an amen? All right. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23, please. How many of you in here understand that you are the first fruit of anyone that comes to know the Lord because of your witness? As Jesus is the first fruit to us, once you become a Christian, it is your job to become a first fruit of your own lineage.
Amen.
That's why Christianity is not a private thing. God expects us to be first fruit in our line. Every one of us should have a lineage. Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
And we do it for Christ, not for us. How many people has anyone ever saved?
None.
It's submitting to the Spirit and letting them live through us. What is a successful witness? Yeah, what is a successful witness? What's that?
Being a friend.
Being a friend? True, but no.
Encouragement.
Doers.
Encouragement. Doers. Yeah, but.
Get out of the way.
A successful witness is to give a witness, give the word, and get out of the way.
Amen.
Rest is up to God and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's it. We have nothing but successful witness if we share. If no one ever prays with you, that's fine. John 4 says that the ground is plowed up here. We need harvesters.
Yeah.
But you can't have harvesters if you don't have planters.
That's right.
So you're either harvesting or planting. But if you just plant, it is a successful witness.
Yeah. And that frees us up tremendously. When we embrace that truth, because the reality is God does not call the person to Christ, then he cannot come.
How beautiful are the feet? And I don't know about you guys, I got some ugly feet right now. Oh man, my feet are ugly. With all the treatment and stuff, I gained 57 pounds in 3 weeks.
Wow.
Okay? With all the water stuff, I look like the Pillsbury burnt doughboy. I could put my finger in my legs and my back and stuff, and it takes 30 minutes for it to come back out. I can just drink water out of it if I want to. I mean, it was just terrible. You guys could not imagine how you feel gaining 50-some pounds in 3 weeks. Just swollen. I was telling the guys, you guys got to pray, man. This new medicine is killing me. It got me swelling. I got to do something about it. And no one really believed how bad it was. So I wore short pants one day. to the office. Looked like I had elephantitis. The guy, James, walked in and go, you know, most pastors knows to be a little sensitive, right? James walking go, oh my goodness!
All right. Bro, you look
swell. I said, man, remind me, if I need some counseling, I'm not calling you, man. So it's working better. That's why it's so hard for me to move and walk, because there's so much swelling. Oh Lord, I can relate. Just in the swelling part, not in the push. We're gonna leave that up to y'all. Woo-hoo. And so I mean, you're sitting there, you're just going, "Oh, help me." So God is turning around, things are going good, but I mean, it just can be so uncomfortable. And but the greatest thing is, every moment you can give thanks for the suffering of Christ. It's nothing that he didn't pay for, was resurrected for, to help me understand what it's like to be a Christian. I get the greatest contentment, greatest faith, knowing that he's in control. It's nothing better. And what you do, you face that uncomfortableness with being comfortable, with the uncomfortableness. And when God puts us, tells us to wait, I call that God's wait program. And you can't wait just to wait. God expects us to wait rightly. Okay? That's when the blessings come. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15, 22-23. All right, don't be acting like a happy married couple back there. All right. This is church. You're supposed to be fighting. Who's got my 1 Corinthians verse?
It's talking about your feet, man.
How about the first fruits?
Thank you. Could you read it again? Man alive. That's why I got off on the first fruit in the feet. Okay. Thank you so much, Denise. Don't you play with me? Change for me. Okay. Oh, look at this. He is our intercessor. How many of you would like to know there's someone who prays for you whose prayers are always answered? Yeah. Could we manipulate? Will we try to manipulate? Tell me honestly. Yeah. I tried to do that with my youngest son, Curtis. That boy can get some answered prayer. And I'm always trying to hint in a selfishness thing, you know. Curtis, would you please pray for that Lamborghini Jeep? Yeah, Dad. God, would you give us what you want us to have? No, it's not the prayer. Oh, he's cracks up, man. He just cracks up. Dad, you trying to get me to pray for that Jeep. I'm not going to pray for that Jeep. Okay, pray for a black motorhome. Who read Hebrews 4 for me? 14 through 16, all righty. Jump, 1 John 2, you got...
I'm sorry, Patrick.
Go ahead.
I have a question on that.
Okay, the last one?
Yeah. I'm not sure I can word this right. Why is he our intercessor? Why does he pray for us? I understand what he did for us, but I don't understand why he prays for us.
Because we're still on earth. We're still caught up in the flesh. And there's still opportunities for us to be a bad witness. Because people aren't turning away from Christ because of Christ. People are turning away from Christ because of us. That makes sense?
Not entirely.
See, Andrew, he's asking, you hear the question, why does God pray for us?
I mean, Jesus prayed for us.
It's God, right?
Yeah, I know, but the role is Jesus you're talking about.
Okay.
Because Jesus is the intercessory prayer. He prays to the Father, right?
Yes, ma'am. He does. Jesus prays for us.
Right.
Okay?
It says so. Right there. Yeah.
And he's an intercessor. You know what an intercessor is?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
I guess I don't.
Yeah. when we intercede for someone else, We most of the time we just pray for people. We don't intercede for them. Interceding is, God, you do whatever it takes for you to do to me to make it right for them.
Is that like where people say he's always dying on the cross?
Yes. He died once, but that's what carries us. But intercession is putting ourselves in a position to be used any way God wants to use to reach the need of that other person. So we don't intercede very much for others.
No.
We pray, and we forget to pray.
Right.
Well, very seldom do we put ourselves in a position to do whatever it takes to take that person, turn that person around, or God to do whatever it takes to us to turn that person around. That's an intercessor. That's a biblical intercessor. Yes, ma'am.
So is the world going to pot because people are only praying and not interceding?
They're going to pot because of marijuana. Did I say that? Oh, I'm sorry. The reason why the world is the way it is because it does not want to accept forgiveness the way God gives it. The man wants to write his own way of forgiveness. And that's why we end up with all the vices. God has no problems saving the world. It's getting Christians to do it the way he want to do it. If that makes sense. You know? Man does not like to think that something is free is worth that. When you talk about free gift of eternal life, you know, man is taught to get what he can, right? Can what he gets, and then sit on the can. I mean, I don't want you to have. I pour it out. But the greatest gift given is the salvation from God because you can't earn it. But that's intercession. That's why he does it, because every day he intercedes. He's our payment. He's our propitiation. And that comes through. And that's when Satan in 1 John, when he goes and gives his report in heaven and condemns us, that's part of an intercession. He goes, Abba, means daddy, very loving term, I paid for their sin. And God, the Father, says, like Colonel Klink used to do on Hogan's Heroes, dismiss! You can leave now. And Satan has the right to go to heaven every day. You guys know that, right? To this very day, Satan can go to heaven. It won't be until Revelation 11 that he's kicked out. And when he hit the earth, he is going to be furious. Okay? He is our advocate. 1 John 2. Did that help, bro, a little bit?
Yes.
1 John 2, 1 and 2. Okay. Go ahead. Man, what's wrong with me tonight? I'm reading verses twice, and then the ones we hadn't read, I'm skipping.
Okay,
we're real skippy dippy. You got that one?
Yeah. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
How many times have you guys heard me say, the Bible always gives us examples of extremes?
Yeah.
All the examples in the Bible is an extreme situation. so that regardless of what you come to, you fall inside the extreme. God fought because he could. Oh, better ask this question. Did Jesus Christ not sin because he couldn't, or did Jesus Christ not sin because he wouldn't?
But he cannot sin. It's impossible for God to sin, or Christ to sin.
True. He did not sin because he couldn't.
Yeah, he said it's impossible.
And they said, well, how was he tempted then, if he couldn't sin? I said, well, if I tried to shoot you and try to kill you, and you didn't die, then did I try to kill you? Of course. The difference is, he went to the end. None of us get to the end. We don't even know what real pain is. You get so much pain, you pass out. Praise be to God. Amen. You get so much sin, you're going to fail. That's why God always gives you a way of escape. Jesus Christ went to the ultimate end of all degrees of temptation. So we know he can handle it. And he knows what we go through. Because he's been much further than any of us will ever go. He's been further than Star Trek. My sound effects. Thank you for reading that. He's an advocate, 1 John 2:1-2.
My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
So Jesus just died for us, or did he die for the whole world? Isn't it amazing that people that go to eternity, judgment, is going for nothing? Yeah, bro.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. If you pray, then should you differentiate your prayer based on what you're praying for?
No.
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 Because in essence, they're all the same.
In essence, you have to use all three.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. And the young lady, get to her point where, who's praying? If Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit is the same, why should he pray for us? You ever thought about that? Just something to think about until we get to prayer. Anything else on these two verses, 1 John 1:2? Yeah, bro.
In a couple of sentences, what's the difference between an intercessor and an advocate?
One leads to the other. The advocate gives him the right to be the intercessor, right? Permission and position. James, you got something better?
An advocate was a legal term used to describe a defense attorney. So when an accusation is brought before
the court, legal counsel.
Yeah, the legal counsel comes to your defense and says, it's a defense attorney, right? That's what an advocate is. So he comes alongside and, in a sense, stands before the Father, as the passage says. The Father can still declare us to be not guilty because he's looking at the defense attorney. He's looking at us through the defense attorney. Mm-hmm. So we still sin, right? But we're justified. So this term right here in 1 John 2 is a legal term. Yeah, it's a courtroom scene. Whereas intercession right here, I mean, I was thinking when you were mm-hmm. talking about, you made the comment that because we're still in the middle of sin in this world, and that's true, I think that's what he said. I'm praying for you, Peter, because Satan has desired to sift you like wheat.
And I've given him permission.
Right. And so therefore, we need the encouragement and we need the protection of Jesus' prayer on our behalf. But one is as a priest.
Yeah.
One is as a defense attorney.
So is the difference between a friend who stands beside us and one who stands between us and the judge.
What about the intercessor? Is he taking the penalty also?
The intercessor do what?
Is the intercessor also taking the penalty?
The intercessor? No.
No. Just
no. It will be already paid for and he's basically proving it. Okay? Because he's already been the payment. He's already our propitiation. And that's to give him the right to be an intercessor because of what he's paid for.
So it's incorrect then to say that Jesus, we're always putting them on the cross every time we sin. Because he only did it once. He died once.
Right.
And so that's incorrect theology. When people say, you're putting them on the cross, he did it once.
That's why we do not say that communion is literally putting Jesus back on the cross, and it becomes on the cross, and he dies, and it becomes his blood. That's blasphemy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bro.
Thank you.
You bet.
On the board there, intercessor, and the statement that he made, interceptor, and that's a little challenging.
I don't understand the interceptor part.
Well, that's what I said. This says intercessor,
right?
Not interceptor.
No,
interceptor is a contradiction.
Right. I don't think we've said interceptor, have we? I think we try to keep it as the intercessor, and that is correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Intercessor. Okay. Anything else on these two? Yes, ma'am.
Jesus
right.
So how do you respond to people who feel that is an accurate depiction?
Because every time they have communion, you know that's what happens. They literally believe that Christ is put back on the cross and it becomes him and his blood. It's the wine.
Well, the Catholics believe that the communion host is Christ's body,
yeah.
Whereas like the Lutherans have the doctrine of transubstantiation, where it becomes body and blood through the act of communion. So that's a different.
So that's why it is really held high to them. That's why it's held so high, being on the cross. It reminds them that, you know, every time they do this, he's back on the cross dying for them. That's bad theology. Yes, ma'am.
This is going back a little bit further, but you said that that when we receive Christ, he comes in as Savior and Lord.
Yes.
Even if you know, regardless of what you do.
Right.
But what happens when believers choose not to have him as Lord in their life?
Hebrews 12.
And then would you say that they probably didn't receive him even as Savior?
No.
Because the two go together.
You're right. That's what you accept him as. And he doesn't separate himself from it.
But there are people that say, yes, I've accepted Christ as Lord, but their life says I've only had him as Savior. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. But a lot of us as Christians who operate every now and then only have him as Savior. We don't always let him be Lord, but he is. Now, God didn't say you had to accept him understanding Savior and Lord. So you got to understand him as Savior. But when he comes in, his job is to make you understand he's Lord. That's part of the Holy Spirit's job, to lead you through the Word and have you submit to who he is.
So is it fair if you're working with people or discipling people and you don't see that growth and you don't see that commitment?
You can bring that up to him and say, I don't see what the Bible says I should be seeing. Because even as a Christian, you're going to have some kind of fruit. It may be raisins. Amen? Amen. But you're going to have some fruit. And the number one fruit out of a Christian not walking with God is guilt. See, before I became a Christian, playing ball, thought I was a little studly kind of guy. You know, just thought I was a ladies' man. Thought I was stud king. But I found out later, you can find studs on the bottom of a snow tire. Can I have an amen? So it's not impressive. Do you think if some woman walked up to me before I became a Christian and said, hey, I'd like to go out with you and we can do anything you want to do to me, did I throw my hands up with a cross and go, get away from me, Satan? I wasn't tempted to not say no. I went along with my flesh. It was only after I became a Christian that it even come in my mind having sex for marriage wrong. Just that one change of thought proved that the Holy Spirit's working. See, and oftentimes we want to see more change than God want to see change in people. am I lying?
No,
you know, there's things that the Bible doesn't say you have to do that means that you're walking with God, but to join a church.
But when you see so many people claim that Christ is Savior and that they're walking with God, but their life doesn't say that.
You know what the percentage is, probably? You know what the percentage of people that's that way? Probably in the church.
80%.
Probably 80%. 80%. They had this young, this church that was very, very strict. And they had all these rules to join the church. And one of the rules was you had to go prove that you was disciplined as a couple. As a couple, you couldn't have sex for 3 months.
What?
Hey, listen, man. Listen up. Listen up, you young bochos. Anyone over 50 years old, that's not that hard. All right. I couldn't have sex for 3 months. So they said, whoa, so that's tough. And they had a bunch of other rules. So 3 months come by, and then I had the first couple in, and says, how did you do on all the rules? The man says, the first 9 was fine. So that 10th rule, I said, man, it was tough. So the first 2 days was tough. First couple of weeks, we were sweating. First month, we decided to move and get different apartments. Said, but we made it. He said, praise God, your discipline. Come on into church. Come on in. Second couple came in. Said, it was rough. Man, so we had problems the night we left here. We were struggling. Man, I had to move out the first 3 days. And we couldn't, he got to the point where we couldn't be on the phone. First 9 was easy. But we made it. So congratulations. You can join the church. Third couple came in with head hanging down. Said, what's wrong? He says, well, the first 9 was tough. See, that was, it was rough. We made it for a couple of days. And my wife ended up and dropped some cabbage on the floor. And that was it. The church said, I'm sorry. You can't join this church. That's all right. We can't shop at Safeway either. Boy, churches, denominations of churches putting rules on us that even the Bible don't put on. How many times have we made life so legalistic that we eliminate the freedom we're supposed to have in Christ anyway? Oh, see, get that picture out your mind. That's supposed to be freedom in Christ. And we don't do anything but turn right around and make our Christian life, what? Legalistic. And the reason why most Christians don't make it is because they're trying to stay away from the Lordship and make it flesh. And they just get so tired. If you fail every day of your life, after a while, you're going to quit doing what? Trying. Oh. You guys thought I was going to come up with something spiritual. Sounded like the Lion of Judah, baby. That's my Holy Spirit call right there. It's going to be Olympia. Okay. Yeah, baby. Okay, give me some light over there. Now, I'm going to give you my greatest idolatrous example of the Trinity. Okay? Now, if you move yourself out of it being this way, you can see how the Trinity works on a very limited scale. Okay? Now, as I stand here, very gingerly. Is that a good East Side word? Right here, I'm Hutch, the husband. Oh, so who am I over here? Hutch the husband. Over here, I'm Hutch the father of my children. Faith, Avery, Sherman, Curtis. My little German chocolate three. Okay? Over here, I am Hutch the son of my mother, Eula Hutchinson. Toughest woman ever lived. I always forgot she was left-handed. I always dug from the right, ran into the left. I used to be white. Now, if I am Hutch the husband over there, I'm Hutch the father here, and I'm Hutch the son there. Now think about it. What if I could always be Hutch the husband, always in flesh, Hutch the husband, and always Hutch the son. Never doing anything independent of the other two, yet totally separate with a separate mind, with different jobs. Son, father, husband. Never having an independent thought, never being in disagreement with the other two. All three of us always moving, but the same way, same thought, same patterns, yet totally different, going in separate directions, different roles. Then you have a picture of the Trinity. Our biggest problem is, that's idolatrous. But now you can see in a small way how the Trinity works. Because that's how most people want the Trinity to work. God taking on three separate roles, not ever being the same at the same time. Our boy, T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes does not believe in the Trinity. He believes that God takes on different roles at different times. The Bible doesn't say that. Okay? Does that help in a small way of being able to see what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit works like? All three, individual, always in the same role, never changing, working independent, yet the same. Any questions? Shall we go start with the Holy Spirit? We got a couple of minutes, don't we? Now this is some funny stuff. If you got a good sense of humor, you can get some funny stuff out of here. Alright? Call God. Someone want to talk to me about Acts 5? We'll read Acts 5, 3 and 4 for me. Need a hand? Alright. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Give the pastor another hand. Alright, bro. Call God. The Holy Spirit is called God. Acts 5, 3, 4. 3 and 4.
But Peter said, Ananias?
Ananias?
Ananias, okay. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep that part of the price of the land for yourself?
Okay. Anyone know this story? Anyone don't know the story, tell me, so I can tell you real quick. Okay? What the church did, they came together and they wanted to raise money. So they different people sold their property and gave it to the church. Well, Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold their property for one price, gave half of it, and then pretended like they gave all of it. Okay? And it just so happened that the Holy Spirit was involved. Nobody can bust you in the line like the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Amen. Had a when I was first started in high school ministry, kids used to try to sneak out, and God would just bust them. You have the cat knock over the glass or window, and everyone jumps up, and kids out of the house because they snuck out the window. And parents all run downstairs, and guess what? Guess who didn't run downstairs? The kid that was snuck out. So guess what happened when the parents just stayed up until they got back in? Dad sitting under the window when they snuck back in. That's another wake you up, amen. Or put you to sleep. So this is the story. They lied about what they gave. Continue. You got it? Kobe.
While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why are you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.
In the middle of two verses, 3, 4, and 5, kind of if you count three like the Jews would do and count 4 or 5, you got three different verses there. He's called God the Spirit one time, called the Holy Spirit, one verse, called God in the next verse. Okay? Got that flow. Now, I don't know about you. Ananias drops dead. Okay? Right there in the middle of the congregation. He lied, you lied to God, boom, the boy's dead. Now, the church sends out to get Sapphira. Now, there's somebody in that church, if you were really a Christian, could have gone out there and told her, girl, when you get in there, you better tell the truth. Your man is already gone. Gonna get a witness. Someone knows them. They waited in the church. Let's see what she gonna do. One is she gonna lie to? The same people that just took your husband out of here, they're gonna come and get you. So always remember, just because your mate lies, don't go down the same road. Can I have an amen? Could get you. Stand strong. Call God, call the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?
Woo! Don't you know he's taking up permanent residence? God says, I'm not going to only ask you to do things and live a certain way. I'm going to move in. Anyone know what it's like to have somebody holy move in?
Touching.
Soon touching. I'm going to tell you how bad it is. When I first came to play with the Hawks, my first year playing with the Seahawks, there was a couple of guys we had been witnessing to for a year. First year was here. One of my buddy, Raleigh Woozy. And Raleigh was living with his girlfriend. And we had been on him. Raleigh was, I mean, the boy will fight at the drop of a hat. Defensive back, tough as nails. And I mean just a scrapper. Kind of guy you want on your team. Just a go-getter. But we was trying to lead him to Christ, and he was just fighting it. So we said, Raleigh, man, so you and Gail ought to come to Bible study. Yeah, man, you know, I'm going to sell that. He was raised as a Mormon, strong Mormon, and just having a difficult time turning loose in Mormonism. You know, man, I'm a Mormon. I can hold that against you. You need to come to Bible study. So the second year, he kept promising that he would come. So guess what we did? We moved the Bible study in where he and his girlfriend was living together. Didn't even take a month. Turned them around, they got engaged. Both accepted Christ and got them married. Isn't that something? All because of what? Had a little righteousness move in right on top of dirt. Don't think you do not have the chain of power of God in righteousness. Just as much as unrighteousness have over you. According to who you're going to let lead. And he dwells in you. He takes residence in you. Moved in.
What year was that?
What year with Raleigh?
With Raleigh.
1974? No, 76. First year of the Hawks.
Yeah, he was Boise State.
Yeah, he was at Boise State. And he was a fighter then.
Yeah,
stayed in trouble.
Short little white guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a scrapper, man. Where you go, you're going to get killed, man. What's wrong with you? Yeah. You know, I was always having to back him up on the field. He's like a little banty rooster, you know. Had to call in the Rottweilers every time he got in trouble. But yeah, that was him. He went to Boise. He's in Florida now. He lost one of his sons. That was devastating.
Where in Florida?
I don't know where in Florida, but I can find out.
He's a strong Lord.
Oh, yeah, strong believer. Walking with the Lord, man, doing very good.
going. That's great.
Yeah. Takes up permanent residence. What does it mean to have you know that you are the temple of God? You know, people get on me, I go, I've never seen a skinny temple. God like the big temple. Filled with meat. Oh man. I found a new barbecue place today by accident. But I'm gonna go try it out, baby. Up on, is it going across the backside, going down into Carnation? What is it? Novelty Hill Road.
I saw it yesterday.
That's the first time I've seen it. Yeah, it's brand new. So I went back, got a couple of barbecue tips. Today I'm gonna try pretty good. Sauce, you know, brother's got to make his own sauce.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm going to try the brisket tomorrow. See if it's any good. I will give a report. I walked in, I was disappointed. Two white guys in there. No, but it was good. Yeah, but it's brand new. I mean, that's just so
very brand new.
Yeah. All right. We better hold up, cause when we get into this, we're gonna roll. Everyone having fun?
Yeah.
Any questions? Yo, yes, ma'am.
I have a question. I just want to know, did you ever read the book Total Shack?
Oh.
And when did you?
I didn't. No, I mean, I didn't think about it. Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's I think it's someone that's trying to motivate you to think and trying to get you not to think the right way. But, you know, he throws some thing, interesting things out to make you think about what you believe. You know. But me, I'm I'd rather just hang with the book. You know, that's what I get excited about. The book. What did you think about it? Did you like it? Oh, good.
Because I like how he described the Father, the Son.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I like how they all just divinity among them.
Yeah.
How they all love one another so much.
Yeah.
I just thought that there was some good things.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I mean,
it's not a theology book.
It definitely isn't. But it, yeah, the way he did the Trinity.
It made me think.
Yeah. Anyone else with a question before we close? Anyone like to teach a class next week? I'm gonna get sick here one day, and that James had to teach you guys. You'll love it if James do it. Me, I'm just somebody you have to put up with. But James, you will enjoy.
You like to go.
Hey man, and you're not gonna have them either.
Yeah, we can help you out.
You can't have my sound effects. Yeah, I need someone to get in there and help me with my sound effects. Give me some bass. They moved the bass from down here, didn't they? I got the big ones at my office. But it was just so much. It was just so much to try to bring in. James, I can hold the prayer for us, bro.
Yeah, let's go ahead and pray. Well, Lord, it's always good spending time with you. Not studying you, but getting to know you. Lord, to know as we are known, that is the goal for each of us. So thank you, Father, for Pastor Hutch and his teaching tonight. Thank you, Lord, for a deeper understanding of your intercessory work in our life. You're our advocate. You're our lover. You're the one who comes alongside and defends and encourages. Thank you, Lord. Triune God, for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will continue to do for us. Father, would you do for each of us? Help us to embody the truth that we've learned tonight in such a way, Lord, that this pastor has reminded us to be able to declare your praise amongst the nations and get out of the way as you work in the lives of the people that we touch. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you guys so much for coming. It's a pleasure. Mark in Vegas now.
No, he's down in Vegas.
Let's do this thing, girl.